welcome Beanie Feldstein.
Is it Feldstein?
Feldstein.
Feldstein, excellent. And Caitlin Deaver.
Yes. Wow. You nailed both of them.
Welcome to the Picture House podcast. And you play Molly and Amy, the unforgettable Molly and Amy, I meant to say, in Booksmart. You know, I'm trying to think of couples in history of cinema that I'm thinking Sundance and Butch, I'm thinking, Romeo and Michelle, awesome. You know,
Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise
is a big one for us.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
But really, it's a completely new, unique relationship portrayed on screen, in my feeling.
Thank you. That means so much to us.
But, The movie really does re-energise and redefine the high school coming-of-age genre. These must have been dream roles for you both. Can you tell me your experience individually of getting the parts?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I read Booksmart about 4 years ago and immediately fell in love with it. The idea that I was going to be able to be a co-lead of a film that is about a strong female friendship, about two girls who so deeply love each other, and that it's centered around an adventure comedy. I think that is so cool, and that's very rare to come around. So the fact that I was being sent the script was just really cool to read, and then they wanted me to be a part of it, and that was even cooler.
They always knew she was Amy. It's literally for 4 years.
Oh my gosh. Were you the go-to for Amy?
I guess.
I can speak for her.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. If you wouldn't mind, Beanie, if you could speak on her. It's much easier sometimes, isn't it?
Sometimes.
Yes, I was. And then Olivia came on to the project 2 years later, so I had to wait that long for this to finally happen. And then in my first meeting, Olivia said to me, she was like, there is no one else to play Molly but Beanie Feldstein, and this movie is not going to be made without her, so
mental.
We're just going to make sure that she can get out of... You were doing Hello, Dolly at the time, and we were hoping that you would finish just in time for the movie to start. Yeah.
So you were the go-to for Molly as well?
Well, unbeknownst to me. I had read the script about a year after Caitlin... to maybe be a part of it for a role that no longer exists in the film anymore, because the film has morphed and changed over time. And but one of the other characters at the school. And I just loved the script. And then when Olivia came on board, I got a call that she wanted to meet with me, and I was like, you called Beanie? And they were like, we're aware. And I was like, she wants to meet with Beanie. You know you're on the phone with Beanie. And they were like, yes, Bean, we know. And I was so taken with her fierce vision for the film. She, like, at our first meeting, we had coffee in Times Square because she was doing 1984 on Broadway and I was doing Hello, Dolly. And that's the only reason you would meet in Times Square. And she was like, you know, high school is like war. And my vision for this movie is like Training Day for high school, but with an intense female love friendship at the center. And I was like, that sounds like the dopest movie I've ever seen in my life. And I was just so taken with her, and I was like, in my head, I was like, I'll do anything. I mean, I don't know who she wants me to play. I haven't read the script in a long time, and she was like, and I want you to play Molly. And I was like, that's one of the two. And she was like, and I was like, is Caitlin still Amy? And she was like, Caitlin's still Amy. And I was like, oh my God, yes.
So did you know each other?
I was a big fan, but we had never met until we were both signed on to do the role. So we didn't have a chemistry read. We didn't read together until we were already cast. It's pretty crazy.
Wow, that's quite a risk.
Yes, I know. But
I think Olivia just...
She just
knows.
Knew. Yeah, that's what's crazy about her. She just knew. She knew she wanted Billy Lord as Gigi. She knew she wanted to ask Lisa Kudrow and Will to be the... I mean, she just knew so much of the film. And then there was also some incredible discoveries of the new cast that...
I felt like I was watching the Brat Pack with Millennials.
Oh, my God. Allison Jones, our casting director, has cast every incredible...
Freaks and Geeks.
Bridesmaids, The Office. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
That is quite a talent. Because there was no weak links.
There's an incredible article about her.
Everyone has their moment.
in the New Yorker called The Nerd Hunter from like 4 or 5 years ago that you should read about her. That's incredible.
Yes.
Sounds like something people that listen to your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, they love tips like that. Definitely.
The Nerd Hunter in The New Yorker. Allison Jones is incredible. So it was like this beautiful, refreshing mix of people that Olivia had thought of, and then also these incredible people that some of which had never even been in any films before.
Well, was it Ryan?
Yes, Victoria. Yes,
Victoria. It was her first.
She worked in a skate shop up until, I mean, while we were filming, even. She was like.
Skate shop down the street from my house.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, literally, it was her first movie. And she was so good.
She's incredible.
So cool.
Warm. There's a warmth that radiates from her that I just am so in awe of. And I think the movie really has a true warm spirit.
Absolutely.
It's a warm comedy, and that's what I loved about it from the beginning, and that's what made me want to be a part of it, was this humor that comes from love and intelligence, not from bringing each other down.
Yeah. I actually cried with happiness.
Oh my God!
I was so shocked at myself. I felt myself sitting there, smiling, and then, I don't want it to be a spoiler, but there was a scene, and it was with Amy, and I just wept. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and it was, I couldn't believe how much I loved you already, if you know what I mean.
Thank you.
That means so much.
I'm going to get emotional.
I know, yeah. I got emotional. We both saw it last night, and I actually got really emotional. It was only my second time seeing it in a movie theater. I think the first time I was very nervous, and my parents were with me, and I just, like, I was just nervous. But then last night I was able to, like, we were in it. We were there. So I got emotional about it.
When you're jobbing and when you're acting and you're on set, are you aware, or could you possibly be aware of the authenticity and that special thing that you're plugging into that the audience are eventually going to see?
I think you can immediately sense it. I think we didn't go into this with any expectations.
Mm.
We weren't like, you know, everyone's going to love this film. And we, you know, you have no idea. You have no idea if a film is even going to get made, let alone for people to love it.
Yeah, and we both always joke that, like, every day on set, we're like, we're going to get fired.
Yeah, no. But no, that you immediately know the spirit of the film. I think it comes from the passion that everyone has. But really, the set just was full of just wonderful, good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, well, what I did know, which I thought was so amazing for a comedy, was Olivia never asked us to go for the joke. She always asked us to go for the authentic moment. So, and in that came so much comedy, because these girls think each other are hysterical.
We were never trying to land any jokes.
It was never like, ba-dum-bum. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was never trying to get the gag or get this moment because this would be so funny, or why don't you dance here? Why don't you do this here? It was always like, what would Molly and Amy just be doing right now? And that was, so in that sense, when you asked about authenticity, I would say like, yes, because that was Olivia's ethos. But you, like, I completely agree with Caitlin. Like, you never know the reaction the audience is going to have. You only know what you strive for.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it is down to how clever and funny and interesting and unexpected it all is as well.
Katie Silverman, our writer, we literally could talk about her for six days.
We could have a separate podcast. Just dedicated.
She's like, maybe the love of our lives. She's ridiculously special, and she wrote Set It Up on Netflix. I'm not sure if you've seen that film, which is, I think, her gift in her writing is taking these genres that are really known and really beloved and just subverting them so beautifully. And so she uses the high school archetypes that we've been taught to see in films or in the media, and she brings you in with those and then so quickly subverts every expectation you have and sort of cracks open the ideology of what a stereotype even is. And the film is such a multidimensional look at young people, which I feel like is not often the lens that we see them through in the media, which is really kind of great.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what I loved about things like you playing the harp. You know, and you actually do play the harp, don't you?
Yes, I do.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. It was things like that Olivia was so collaborative on and so open and willing to just...
Your song makes me laugh so much.
But it was the quirks that she could bring out in people.
Yeah, well, and, again, like, you know, she knew that I wanted to, because I think for that scene, they were thinking, like, Amy should play, like, something. Olivia was always trying to fit everyone's musical talents in at some point.
She
in
this loves movie music. Because,
yeah, she, and her music taste is
incredible. Sublime.
Yeah.
And I remember her, she was saying, like, they wanted Amy to play the guitar or ukulele, and I was like, what if she played the auto harp? Because it's just a funny instrument to look at.
It totally is, and so unexpected.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, but again, an auto harp was on set the very next day after I had mentioned it, and when we shot that scene, Katie Silverman had written that song within five minutes. I mean, like, literally just...
She was like, you should sing a little something, and then she was like, Caitlin... If you don't say something, it's like, oh my god, your brain works so fast.
And Bina, you're a classically trained dancer. And is that right? Is that not true?
That is so kind.
She is.
Well, recently.
Officially.
I'm officially a professional dancer because I recently backup danced for Karen O and Danger Mouse on the Colbert Show, which is sort of the craziest thing I've ever done in my entire life. And Spike Jonze directed it, and it's like a live music video on the Colbert Show. It's incredible to watch. But the other girls in it with me are professional dancers who dance for Beyonce, and then there's me, and they told me that
for Beyonce,
and they told me that because I got paid to do nothing but dance, I am now a professional dancer. I'm a musical theater trained actress.
Okay.
So I, not professionally, but just through community theater and school theater and theater camps and stuff like that. But I grew up in musical theater, and in order to do theater, you have to have a strong dance background. There's sort of, I was taught that you could never book any roles unless you knew how to dance. And my incredible community theater director, who is completely like, just, she does it for the love of it. She gets paid literally $0. Taught me that, and I'm so thankful because when I was in Hello Dolly on Broadway, I wasn't required to dance for my audition, and then I showed up at rehearsals, and there was so much dancing involved that I sort of, over that year, did feel like I actually do know.
Because I wondered if, was that dance scene, which was just superb.
Oh, thank you.
Was that inspired by the fact that Olivia found out that you could dance?
Yes.
And then it was like, ah, we've got to get that in.
Yeah, I think, you know, originally Molly was, she had slightly different interests. She was a bit more into, which is still amazing, she was a bit into, which I think she could be into both, a lot of rap. There was like a lot of references to her obsession with rap. And Olivia had thought of this dance sequence, and she was like, I want it to be like a punk La La Land sort of like a Sia music video meets La La Land sort of moment. And I think that was because she wanted to include my love of musicals. And she thought that would be just as unexpected as rap for Molly to be obsessed with, especially because there's all those scenes where she hates on the theater kids, which is very funny for me to play.
I got really emotional when I watched your dance scene last night.
Really?
Yeah, because the music, how it plays in that scene.
And Mason Gooding had never danced in his life. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And that's, again, like with us, it's all partnership.
Yeah.
Especially that dance. And
they
so
were,
I'm so
they
proud
were
of him.
Doing their dance. I was like sleeping and napping on the weekends, and they were going to dance rehearsal. And I was like, all right, you guys.
See ya. Learned so many skills for this film. We learned Mandarin.
Oh, yes, that was great, the Mandarin thing. I want to ask you as well, I understand that you're obsessed with Lisa Kudrow. And was this the first time that you met her? How was it working with your
idol? Oh my god, we're both obsessed with her. We quote The Comeback.
The Comeback.
If you haven't seen The Comeback.
Oh.
You have to watch it. We're giving you a gift right now.
Okay. Oh my god, you need to go home right
it's
now.
Unbelievable.
She is.
Everything.
Quite the comedic
genius. And of
genius
course, Phoebe Buffay.
Yeah.
And every other role she's ever been in. But I was in Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, which she was also in. And the day she had her, she has like a big cameo scene. And the day she did her scene, it was my first film ever. And it was like my third day of shooting. And I was like, may I stay and watch? And they were like, of course, you're in the film. You can come whenever you want. And I was like, okay. And they kept trying to bring me over to introduce me to her, but I was too nervous, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. Did I ever tell you this? Yeah. And then, so on Booksmart, I had no choice. We had to talk to her in the film.
I had no choice.
I had no choice but to face my fandom. And she's a remarkable human being. She's the most giving, calm, intelligent spirit. Talk about book smart. She just radiates intellect. And, I mean, we just, both of us, didn't take
a
breath.
We were just in awe of her and her talent. And both her and Will Forte. Getting
Will
to
Forte.
Watch them for an hour. Just
improv
and list off all these food puns.
It was like taking a master class.
That was a great
me
scene.
Me being your dad.
Salami being your dad.
So good.
I've been given the time's up.
No,
so
we could talk forever.
Beanie, Caitlin, thank you so much. And I think this is going to become one of those landmark films.
Oh,
that, yeah,
thanks.
Real game changer. So
amazing.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you.
And you.